Thanks. Let's just pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we know that in comparison, nothing else matters. Nothing else is important. Nothing else satisfies. Nothing else makes life right and good and fulfilling as knowing you and following you. So please help us right now. Settle our often anxious hearts, please. Settle our often distracted minds and help us to hear your voice in your word this morning. And it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. As God's beloved gathered people, this is a question I want us to ask this morning. If we are to be a healthy, successful church this year, what is the one absolute thing we must get right? Maybe if I was a businessman, maybe the question I would ask, what is our core business? What is that core thing we want to excel at? So if I was, we were a rubber band factory, you know, what would be the one absolute thing you have to get right if you want to be a successful rubber band factory? What do you need to get right? Making good quality rubber bands. It doesn't matter what else you get right. You might be a great equal opportunity employee. You might be a wonderfully environmentally factory. But if you're not getting those rubber bands right, all else is on shaky ground, isn't it? So what is the corresponding reality for us as a church? What's that one thing we must get right? Does anybody have any suggestion? You want to suggest, anyone throw anything out there? So, yeah, we already had it at the beginning. That's a good one. To be like Jesus. Sorry?
Right relationship.
Right relationship, Tony? Yeah, getting our relationship right with Jesus. Telling us. Sorry? God's word.
Sharing it with others.
They're all good things, aren't they? And I think we're capturing something there. And what I want to suggest is that Jesus has given us the answer right here before us. Turn back to page 1000. Turn back to page 1000 and that passage there in Matthew 28. The answer is there in that Bible reading of ours, in those final words of Jesus. Page 1000. See there at verse 18? Just capture the significance of this moment, right? There is the risen Lord Jesus standing there with his followers. And he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. How significant are those words in the life of the believer? It's interesting. Here is this man who's just risen from the dead. You know, he's just spent 40 days and 40 nights with his followers, right? 40 days and 40 nights with this guy that's just risen from the dead. You imagine what it would have been like to have spent time with him? And what did he do? And what did he say during those 40 days and 40 nights? Do you know, we really don't know. We really don't know. Out of those 40 days and 40 nights, we really only have this written here. One or two other things, but this is the main thing. I think that says two things to us. Firstly, I think it says what Matthew, Mark and Luke and John are essentially saying is don't worry, right? Don't worry. Everything that needs to be said has already been said. There's nothing more to say. It's not like Jesus rises from the dead and goes, boy, did I get that wrong. He doesn't say to the guys, just wait, just hold off on going to press. You know, I just have to do some rewrites of that first edition. He's not saying that, is he? There's not all this new extra information. There's nothing more that needs to be said, except this one last thing. go, be my followers into all the world. So how significant are those words there right for us? This is a very significant moment in the life of a believer. It is a moment that shapes and propels the rest of the Christian life. And to back that up, you just listen to the first part of what he says. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Every ounce of authority that exists has been given to him. If there's one voice you must listen to, it is his. You don't care what anybody else says. I know you have lots of other voices screaming in your ears, but there's only one that counts. Mine, says Jesus. Be polite to others, but mine is the only one that you must listen to. And so what is that word he has for us at that moment that is so to direct our lives? What is so important for us to get right as a church? Well, you see it in verse 19. We need to be on about growing disciples, growing followers of Jesus. Each of us growing as followers of Jesus. Are we able to help people who are far from Christ to come to know Christ? And for those who know Christ, are we as a church able to help and nurture people such that they become close and intimate with Christ in their everyday walk with him? When you think of it, it doesn't matter whether you've been a Christian for 6 months or 6 years or six decades. Growing as a follower of Jesus is an ever-growing and deepening relationship. So, for example, one of the ways the Bible talks about this is in terms of reaching for maturity, right? It often has the picture of the infant in Christ and encouraging them to grow up into maturity, into maturity in Christ. You heard that in the second Bible reading, Paul, this striving, this energy to keep pressing on and to attain maturity, and he encourages all those who mature to think in the same way and to act in the same way. What do we expect of a baby? We know that the goal of birth and having kids is to bring them to maturity. The goal is when they turn 18, you release this mature, independent person into the world, right? If your kid at 18 is still needing help tying their shoelaces and wiping their snotty nose, you kind of think, something's gone wrong there, hasn't it? And okay, I've still got 1 year and 364 days to go with one of them. Happy birthday for Will yesterday. So we're always pressing on for maturity. And so the question you want to be asking yourself after, say, after 5 years of being a Christian, are you a mature five-year-old? Have you learned to tie your own shoelaces and start reading? If you've been a Christian for 10 years, you need to ask yourself, are you a mature 10-year-old? Have you started helping out around the house? Are you serving and playing a part in the family business? Are you helping to look after younger siblings? If you've been a Christian for 20 years, are you a mature 20-year-old? Are you a self-starter? Are you able to maturely look after yourself so you can be a key contributor now in community life? And if you've been a Christian for 40 years, are you still continuing to grow in wisdom and stature so that you are one of the pillars of our life together? It's so sad when you come across someone who's been a Christian for years and years and years, but you get to know them and you realise they're still an infant in Christ. They've failed to thrive. Following Jesus is an ever-growing and deepening relationship. And Jesus is calling us ever onwards to greater depth of life and maturity in him. And the question is, are we a church that encourages that and assists and supports and promotes that ever-growing relationship? And can I say, this is just not a concern for me as the pastor or rector of this church. You see here that Jesus is talking to all of his disciples. You see there that this is a concern he wants passed on from disciple to disciple to disciple. He teaches his disciples to command, make disciples and command and teach them everything that he's taught them. So there's this thing being passed on from disciple to disciple. It's not just for a select few. It's for all of his disciples to take up this concern. So here's the crucial question for each of us here in this church. Firstly, am I growing as a follower of Jesus? Am I aware of the next step in maturity that I need to take? Am I praying about that? Have I got myself in the right place to be able to grow and be nurtured? Have I set myself up to take that next step this year? What do I need to do to cooperate with Jesus and the Holy Spirit in the work that he wants to do in my life? So that's the first question I think that we have for each other here. Am I continuing to grow as a follower of Jesus? And a second crucial question is this. Are we here growing together as followers of Jesus? Are we a church that nurtures that sort of growth together? So do we have relationships with each other where this is on the agenda? Do we ever talk about these things with one another? Are we praying for one another? Do our connect groups grow people in following Jesus? Do our services? Does our preaching? We have very finite resources in time and money. Are we using every drop of what we have to not just do good things, okay things, but the very best things we can do here in Abbotsford to grow to followers of Jesus, to bring those who are far from Christ and help them to know Christ, and to help those who know Christ to grow in intimacy with Christ? Last year, Parish Council and I sat down to review our mission and vision for us as a church. Why do that? Well, you know, firstly, every organisation just needs to keep coming back to its fundamentals and to just make sure it's absolutely clear on what it is on about and what it's seeking to be excellent at. Otherwise, obviously, if you're not clear about that, you can't coordinate and work together towards that end. And secondly, I'm actually very aware of about my own kind of weakness in this kind of area of kind of providing leadership and vision and communicating that. And it's something I just want to grow in over the next couple of years and get better and better at that. And so this is part of the process, starting to sit down with the leadership team and work through these things. And thirdly, while we've had many statements have been made in the past, very great, fine statements we still have there up there on the back wall, growing in faith and sharing the love of Jesus. The thing is that we have many new members of our church, including myself, who were never part of that. And it's just part of a kind of the seasons, natural seasons of life, where we just kind of need to review and refresh these things. And so I'm very pleased to say that what we've come up with together, as I've consulted with parish council, as I've consulted with others, as we've looked and prayed over the Bible, is this is what we've come up with. Growing together as followers of Jesus. St. Andrew's wants to be about growing together as followers of Jesus. And to fill that out a bit more with a picture of what that means, we've added, who know, love and serve our Lord Jesus Christ, his church and his world. Who know, love and serve, because we know it's not just about head knowledge. It's not just about answering all the trivial pursuit questions about the Bible, right? It's to touch the heart. It's about love, isn't it? And it's not just to stay as a warm, fuzzy feeling as we get together and sing Kumbaya. It's to turn into service. We take up our cross and we follow Jesus. Know, love and serve. And also we know it focuses on Jesus. We love and serve Jesus. But we know as we focus on Jesus, it turns us to his church. He wants us to serve his church. And he wants us to serve his world. And over the next few weeks, we'll try and unpack that a lot more and understand the significance of these things. But I'm really pleased that we as a parish council prayed through that and been able to arrive at that, which of course is the words of Jesus. If any church kind of comes up with a form of something that doesn't really reflect what Jesus is saying there, you know, you've got to ask questions about that. So hopefully you see what we've come up with conforms to what Jesus wants for us as a church. Now, that has been a bit of work to come to at that point. If you've ever been involved in that process, it can be a little bit painful. But of course, you know, that's been the easy part. Of course, all the real hard work is yet still before us. Because how are we going to let these words not just be some glossy brochure on the back of the table or just some nice little words at the top of a letterhead? How are we going to let those words of Jesus transform us in our life together as the Church of Jesus here in Abbotsford? What are the particular barriers we face here in growing together as followers of Jesus? As you can probably imagine, we still have a long way to go in making those words a reality. There is much we do well, there is much we could do better. And today I want to ask you to join me in beginning that work. Right here today, I want to ask us to commit ourselves afresh to that work. It will not do for us just to be a nice church, a good-looking church, a polite church that doesn't rock the boat. They might all be good things, but they will be all for nothing if we don't hear the words of Jesus here and be a church that is growing followers of Jesus. I know many of us here long to see us reaching out into the community, as I do, with the love of Jesus. But here is the thought that has struck me. Why would Jesus bring his sheep here to be cared for and nurtured if we ourselves don't know how to grow as followers of Jesus? We all have a part to play. And so this is what I want you to do. Three things I want you to do as a result of what we've spoken and heard from Jesus this morning. Firstly, I want to ask you to start praying. Start praying for yourself. There is nothing more important than hearing the voice of Jesus and opening up your own life to him in this way. Some of you may be far from Christ. Some of you may have been walking with him intimately for decades. But no matter who you are, the question I want you to ask Jesus is, Lord, what next? Maybe you haven't yet put your life in Jesus' hands this morning. Maybe there is still something you need to see. And that is great. I want to say you are welcome here, and I hope you can see that there is a place for you here as you seek to grow in your relationship with Jesus. But this morning, pray to Jesus and ask him to make himself known to you better this year, more clearly. Or maybe you have just made a decision to follow Jesus, only just recently. Welcome to the family. Ask Jesus this morning, what next? What part of my life do I need to bring you into more this year, Jesus? Or maybe you are someone who has been following Jesus. You started following Jesus a long time ago. But you've realised in recent years is that you've become weary and you've dropped away. So this morning, pray to Jesus. Ask him, what next? Ask him to help you rediscover your love and awe of Jesus again. And to help you step out for him again this year. And I just want to also say, if that's you, don't beat yourself up. Jesus is calling you to follow. One thing I love about this time of year, it's a new year, it's a new day. There are new hopes and possibilities, especially with our dear Lord Jesus. There is always forgiveness. There is always a way back. And with him and the power of the Holy Spirit, there is always the hope of a new fresh start. Or maybe, finally, maybe you have become a Christian a long time ago and you're just as excited today as you ever were about following Jesus. And I want to say, praise God. Praise God for God's work in your life. But still ask Jesus, what next? I'm so excited about what you're doing in my life. What next? What is a new way you want me to step out in faith this year so that I might see your power and goodness displayed in my life and in the life of others? It's an ever-deepening and growing relationship, isn't it? So firstly, start praying for yourself. What new ways do you want me to grow, Jesus? Secondly, I want to ask you to start praying for each other. There is nothing more important in your day than seeking the Christian growth of others. And of course, that starts with prayer. So use the parish prayer directory that Janice has worked so hard as a servant of us to put that together. It's not just so you can be in contact with one another, it's so you can pray for one another. So take the opportunity to do that. It's a great way to organise your prayers. And as you pray for one another, pray that God would begin a new work here amongst us at St Andrews this year. Pray that God would grow people into our church, and pray that God would grow people up in our church. Begin to pray specifically that people would know, love and serve our Lord Jesus Christ, his church and his world. Growing together begins with praying for one another. And the third thing, finally, I just want to ask you to do over the next couple of weeks is to be here. To be here, especially over the next 5 weeks. Over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be unpacking more and more of what it means to be growing individually as followers of Jesus, but also exploring what it means to grow together as followers of Jesus. What does that mean for our corporate life too? And so it will be very important for you to be here, to hear that. Because I need your help. I can't do this by myself. We need to be working as a team. So please be here to hear those things, to hear how we might need to start behaving together and acting together as a church to help each other to grow. So I want to ask you to begin with those three things. Start praying for yourself in this way. Start praying for each other. And be here over the next few weeks. And I want to ask you to begin starting those three things right now. Particularly that first one, praying for yourself. Did everybody get an envelope like this? Did everybody get an envelope like this? I want to give you 5 minutes to pray. And I'm going to ask you to do that in the form of a letter to Jesus. Just to write out your prayer to Jesus this morning. And just to speak to him, let him know how you feel about these things. Let him know how you feel. And maybe you already know an area you need to grow in. So bring that before him. Just tell him how you feel and how you want to grow in your relationship with him this year. And then what I'm going to do is after you've done that, I'm going to ask you to put that back in the envelope, seal it up. It's for nobody else to see. Nobody else is going to see this. It's just between you and Jesus. So you put that back in the envelope, you seal it up, and you put your name and address on the front. And then what I'm going to do a bit later in the service is I'm going to collect these. I'm going to put them in the safe. They're not for anybody else to see. Nobody else is going to touch them. They're going to be put in the safe. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring them out later in the year, just before our next Celebration Sunday service. So you know how we kind of tried to reflect on our past year? Well, won't it be interesting in about 11 months' time to get this letter again and to open it up and maybe to see how God has answered your prayer this year and grown you as a follower of Jesus? So that's the idea. Write out a prayer to Jesus about growing, seal it up, and we'll hand it in a bit later. So I'm going to give you a few minutes now. Maybe just to, as a bit of an example, I have one I've prepared a bit earlier. This is the one I've written for me. Now, it's intensely personal. I feel very exposed reading this out. But I'm just going to read it to you as a bit of an example so you might know what it looks like. So please don't share this with anybody. If we can just be between you and me. That will be helpful. This is what I've written. My dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for the way you've been involved in my life and the way you keep forgiving my sin and keep loving me and drawing me ever nearer. I'm so grateful for all the blessings I have in my life. I thank you for my work and my family, my wife and my friends. Jesus, I pray that you would help me to grow this year as your follower in each of these areas. I feel like such a failure sometimes, and I know my fears often get the better of me and keep me from obeying you. Particularly this year, help me to grow as a patient and present husband and father. I don't want my family just to get the leftovers of my time and energy. I know that you teach me that my family is my first and foremost congregation, and I want to do better in loving them. Please grow me as your follower, your servant, Paulo. So, don't share that with anybody, okay? That might be an example. Just, they're my words. You have your words. Just share how you feel with Jesus and share with him what you would like from this year. Okay, I'm going to give you 5 minutes, plenty of time to do that. So spend a bit of time doing that now. If you don't have a pencil or an envelope, just put up your hand. Put up your right hand if you need an envelope, put up your left hand if you need a pencil. That's a right hand, you need an envelope. Right hand or envelopes, left hand or pencil, just back beside the people.
Sins and greed.
If you need a bit more time to do that, we'll have a bit more time in the next song and the prayers and in communion. So don't rush that if you need a little bit more time. But let me tell you what I'd like you to do with those, how to hand those in. This morning, as part of our service, we're celebrating the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is this wonderful, profound celebration where we, in this very simple way of eating a bit of bread and drinking a bit of wine, we say to Jesus, I need you. I need you in my life and I want to follow you. So as you come up this morning, come up with your prayer, offer your prayer, I'll take it and I'll put it up on the table, and put your trust in Jesus by receiving the bread and the wine. So does that make sense? Just bring the envelope up with you when you come up to communion. I'll take it and as you receive the bread and the wine. Now, if you don't really want to do that, if that all feels a bit naff to you, that's okay. Don't hold back from coming up to communion because of that. Just come up and deal with the envelope in whatever way you like.